Father in heaven, we thank you for this time we can come together in your presence as your children, express our love for you, our appreciation for you, a time when we can worship you together as your people. Father, we ask that you teach us how to draw near to you, how to enter into deeper fellowship with you, a deeper understanding of your greatness, your goodness, your grace, your perfection in your being in all your ways. Deep appreciation of what you've been doing in our lives. Will you help us to grow in deeper conviction of the things that you have been teaching us, the path that you have called us. Father, we thank you that there's much that you have taught us, but we also recognize there are many things we do not yet understand, and many of the things that we think we have some understanding, we know that there's so much more depth that you desire us to enter into, and there are many issues and truths of which understanding is superficial. We ask that you will continue to help us to ponder over and through the many situations of life, to be able to recognize that we are seeking to teach us the deeper things in your heart and deeper appreciation of truths. And we ask that more and more you will help us to live our lives with a deep sense of confidence in your sovereign undertaking for every aspect of the lives of your children. That those who trust you and love you will not be put to shame, will not be disappointed, because we know that there's meaning in each situation that we go through together with you. There's much meaning, positive results that can take place not only in our lives, but also the advancement of your kingdom. Father, we ask that this afternoon, as we ponder further about intensely difficult situations and times of difficulties and trials that may at times stretch on for long periods of time, we ask that you help us with deep understanding of these issues, and particularly to ponder about how we ought to respond in such times. It will help us to have a good grasp of these things, to be more ready to go through whatever you see appropriate for us to go through. We acknowledge our frailties, our weaknesses, but we know that we can be strong in you, and that you will see us through whatever situation you allow us to go through. We come this time to your hands and we ask that you be pleased that we are teaching the Spirit of God will help us to understand these things and apply them in our hearts and minds. We pray that you protect us, that you cover us with the blood of the Lord Jesus. We will not allow the powers of darkness in any way to harass us, disturb us, in any way to hinder us from understanding, from hearing, and from hearkening the one who has to speak to us. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of appearance and reality, the 53rd message, and the second major category of situations, the 29th message. And you've been considering difficult situations which appear likely to continue indefinitely or degenerating towards increasing darkness and hopelessness or developing intensity towards a crisis and seriously damaging consequences. This is a fourth message on this subtopic, and today we will be concentrating on our response. subject we are considering, trials and difficulties, which can be very intense or of long duration, is a subject that all those who love the Lord will take heed to and helpful to prepare ourselves so that we are ready to face such times, because it can be extremely difficult. And we may not go through such times well. And if we do not go through well, the consequences at times can be rather serious. During such times, we may despair, we may become bitter, we may even turn away from the Lord. So it is important for us to prepare ourselves well for such times. And it is not easy to prepare ourselves for such times, and even these messages, which are intended to help us be more ready to face such times, in themselves will not make us ready, but it can in some way help us in that direction. But the most important aspect has to do with our recognition of our need to consolidate our faith, to strengthen our convictions, our foundation in the Lord, in the truth. But these messages, as we consider various issues, they can help us to have a clear understanding of what are issues involved that may be taking place and how we can cooperate well with the Lord during such times. So it is important, helpful for us to absorb these truths well in our lives, so that even if not immediately relevant at this point of time, we will not forget how to apply them when such times come, because they may then become very important to us. So we need to absorb them into our lives, and if we learn how to go through such difficult times well, we may then find them to be very meaningful and very beneficial for our personal lives as well as for the Lord's work. I want to share with you a short poem by Walter Knight on this subject and some issues we have been considering. I'll read through this poem once, and after that reflect further with you on this poem. The poem goes like this: pressed out of measure and pressed to all length, pressed so intensely it seems beyond strength, pressed in the body and pressed in the soul, pressed in the mind till the dark surges roll, pressure by fools and pressure by friends, pressure on treasure till life nearly ends, pressed into loving the staff and the rod, pressed into knowing no helper but God, pressed into liberty when nothing clings, pressed into faith for impossible things, pressed into a life in the Lord, pressed into living a Christ life outpoured. There are 12 lines in this poem, and you'll find that the first 6 lines describes the difficulties. The last 6 lines, the next 6 lines, describes the positive direction and results that can come about. Pressed out of measure and pressed to all length helps us perhaps communicate to us the intensity of the difficulties, how hard it is, pressed out of measure and pressed to all length, and pressed so intensely it seems beyond strength, as if we cannot endure it, beyond strength, pressed in the body and pressed in the soul, pressed in the mind till the dark surges roll. these two verses helps communicate the pressures, the difficulties that we encounter in every aspect. In particular, every aspect of our being is affected, every faculty, our body, our soul, our mind, under pressure. Pressure by foes and pressure by friends. The difficulties at times can come from the direction of enemies, foes, or those who are unhappy with us, those who dislike us, those who are against us. But the difficulty, the pressure, can also come from the direction of friends. And in fact, some of the most difficult times that we go through are difficulties in relation to friends or loved ones. In fact, the closer we are to them, the more they mean to us, the more difficult it can be to bear difficulties in that area. Sometimes it may not necessarily be that they're out to hurt you, but as a result of misunderstandings, as a result of a pressure supply, relationship problems can be of a very high degree, very intense difficulties can arise. And at times it seems as if there's no way to sort it out. And it can be very painful, very hard to bear. And pressure, till life nearly ends. Then a strong sense that comes to pressure and pressure. Not just one pressure, but various pressures, one after another keeps coming. And as you see, it'll be the end of us. Your life nearly ends, can communicate the sense as if we may lose our lives, but we may also more just communicate the sense of the fact that we cannot take it, very hard to bear, or the dangers involved in that situation may endanger our lives. But then we go on to the next six verses that communicates the positive direction of these pressures and results that can take place. Pressed into loving the staff and the rod. This is probably a reference to maybe two lines together. Pressed into loving the staff and the rod. Pressed into knowing no helper but God. The staff and the rod probably is a reference to that is used by the Good Shepherd, referring to God as the Good Shepherd. It could be back on Psalm 23. This could be a reference to Psalm 23, the staff and the rod. The staff and the rod, through which, in that such context, we learn to appreciate God's guidance, God's protection, rest in the loving, a deeper experience, appreciation of God's hand, His guidance, His protection over us. And such times of intense difficulties can draw us to the deeper fellowship of God, a deeper appreciation of God and His undertaking, the closeness of His presence, His undertaking for our lives. Because such times can also be a time of experiencing God's disciplining hand upon our lives, and also learn to appreciate His disciplining hand upon us. Pressed into knowing no helper but God. Because here it should then be taken to mean that during times of difficulties, we are not able to receive help from others, and the only one who cares for us, who helps us, is God. We shouldn't have that kind of thinking or attitude. But pressed into no helper but God, I see it's helpful to look at it more from this angle, that during times of intense difficulties, it helps us to recognize and to come to a deeper recognition that ultimately the lines must be of God. our ultimate faith and confidence must be in Him. Ultimately, only He can really help us. Others can only help us to know the help that comes from Him. Others can only help us the degree that they have in turn been helped by God, enabled by God to help us. And that ultimately, we must ground our confidence, our faith in God as our ultimate helper. And times of ease, pleasantness, we may say that we trust God, we rely upon Him, that He is our helper, but we do not appreciate it so deeply. As during times of intense difficulties, as we cast ourselves upon the Lord and know His sustaining hand, His encouragement, His anointing, we really come to appreciate Him as our helper in a much deeper way. Pressed into liberty when nothing clings, pressed into faith for impossible things. Wonder what this lines mean, what has it got to do with difficulties. Pressed into liberty when nothing clings. During times of great difficulties, it can help us to realize that there is nothing on earth that we should cling to. Nothing in the end that is really that precious if only we are able to come to the position of knowing the assurance of God's love, God's undertaking, and the preciousness, the kind of fellowship that we can have in Him. It can help us in that direction. But other things that may tend to attract us, that may seem rather important, things of the world, during times of difficulties, the Lord can help us, draw us towards that direction where we no longer allow any of the other things to cling to us, but to learn to recognize that God means everything to us. And that is the position where we enter into liberty. So difficulties can move us in that direction if we respond properly. So nothing clings. We tell the Lord in a deeper, with deeper conviction, that we don't hold on to anything. Nothing else matters but our relationship with Him, and that our lives are right with Him, and that He is pleased with us. Because all these positive directions are not automatic, but if you respond well, they can move us in these directions. And the Lord desires to move us in these directions when He allows us to go through all these difficulties. So as we learn to come to a position where we cling to nothing, we then enter into freedom, liberty in the Lord, in a way that we may not experience in earlier times. Nothing else matters but that we are able to have a good relationship with God. Pressed into a life in the Lord, pressed into living a Christ life outpoured. You may wonder why pressed into a life in the Lord. Surely those who love the Lord may seek to walk with Him. And during such times of intense difficulties, it can help us, strongly move us in that direction, where we learn to draw near to the Lord, to walk with Him, to know Him in a deeper way, and not allow other things to draw us away from Him, because of a deeper sense of a recognition of our need for God. And also pressed into living a Christ life outpour, a deeper recognition of our own frailties, our limitations, and that we just cannot carry on our own, and no more confidence at all in ourselves their own strength or ability to cope with anything. And in that context, to look to the Lord, to strengthen us, to empower us, that Christ's life may fill us and be manifested through us. And we learn to come to that position of no confidence in ourselves, trusting fully in the Lord, no reliance on our own capabilities. We may then be in a position during such times of intense difficulties with a deep experience of the life of the Lord filling us and being expressed. Not only are experiencing the Lord in deeper measure within us, but the Lord's life expressed through our lives, which can then have positive implications to others around us. Not just for that point of time, but also for the future. So as I mentioned in this poem, the first 6 lines describes the difficulties, the pain, the unpleasantness. So it may appear to be rather undesirable. And this is what, when we go through times of difficulties, we can be struck by this behavior. It's unpleasant, we don't want to go through it, it's undesirable. We want to get out of it as soon as possible. And that's one area of concern that I have, and that is believers, when they go through times of difficulties, especially intense difficulties, the first thought that tends to come to our minds is that this undesirable, I want to get out of it as soon as possible. And it seems something undesirable, not good for us. So it appears that way, it appears undesirable because of its pain, because of the unpleasantness. But the last 6 lines describes to us the positive direction, the positive results that can come about, the pressures can bring about. That is, in other words, in reality, these hard, difficult times can be very helpful. Not only it can be very helpful, it's God's intention for us through the pressures. God allows us to go through the pressures so that we may suffer and emerge negatively affected. But He's sovereign. He allows us to go through these difficulties because He knows that it can be very helpful for us. Positive results can come about. But the positive results are not automatic. And that is a very crucial issue. Though it is God's intention for us, it is not automatic. It will not come about if we react negatively, if we do not go through it well, if we do not respond to God positively during such times. And that is the issue that we should pay a lot of attention to. It's a deep concern of our hearts. That often God's children do not benefit from such times, but instead they suffer but do not come through it with the beneficial positive results. So it is crucial that we recognize this well, adopt this posture, and during times of difficulties to know how to continue to adopt this posture, and then we will come through better, a better person as a result of those experiences. So today I want to concentrate on our response and approach towards times of intense difficulties or difficulties of a long duration. Our response and approach towards times of intense difficulties of long duration. In a way, the various issues we've considered in the preceding and earlier messages, for example, we consider some related factors which may be in operation, why relief may suddenly come about, and why God allows us to go through such times. We consider the meaning, the meaningfulness of such times. Now all these various aspects that we've considered, they're helpful for us to try to understand what's happening, and help us to understand how to cooperate with God. But in the end, this is the crucial part that we have to concentrate upon and to be real in our lives when we actually go through such times, and that is our actual response. That's why we have to concentrate this afternoon on this issue, to draw forth from what we considered in the preceding messages. And though in one sense may say it sounds obvious what we've already considered, but in reality many of us are not able to draw forth this properly and appropriately and actually learn to apply it. So what we've considered in the preceding messages helps us, can help us understand what is happening, can help us to understand what God desires to accomplish, and ultimately what God requires of us, what He desires of us, to how He wants us to respond during such times. Before I go on, I just want to mention also that we should bear in mind that when we consider some related factors, which may be in operation, to recognize that more than one factor is often in operation at the same time. For example, God at work in the context and the Lord's purposes in the situation, which can have a bearing on the duration of the struggles and the intensities of it. And also, we considered how what's happening in the spiritual realm, the powers of darkness at work, the evil one at work. Various of these can be happening at the same time and have a bearing and a relationship with one another. For example, we also consider our personal response, our prayer, our attitudes, and so on, and what we are learning. So our response will also have a bearing on how the powers of darkness are at work in the situation. Because the whole thing is dynamic. For example, if you do not respond well, the ease with which the powers of darkness can work in the situation will be different. If we take our stand properly, then they may become limited in what they can do or what they will continue to do. Likewise, God at work in the situation is also related to our response. And we consider the hearts and minds of others, what's happening in their lives, which we may not be very clear about, how they can, that can affect the situation. But what's happening in the life, in the hearts and minds of others, can also be related to our response, our prayer for them, our conduct towards them, God at work in the situation, the powers of darkness at work in the situation. And then we consider prayer of others, the prayer of others, how we can the bearing on God at work in the situation, the powers of darkness at work, and also our own response. But though these various factors bear relationship to one another, and often more than one factor is in operation at one time, it's also helpful to recognize that in different situations, the significance and the weightage of these factors can vary. So for example, sometimes we go through a situation that's very difficult. The main issue there at that point of time may be the powers of darkness at work giving us those problems. So if we recognize it, we learn how to take our posture, the intense difficulties may go away. But sometimes the main issue there has to do with certain things that God wants to accomplish. And He will let us go through a certain duration. So our response is important. But how we respond also, the main thing, God wants us to go through a certain series of experiences or some things that we need to go through as part of fulfillment of God's purposes. For example, we looked at the Exodus. We considered what happened. That God beforehand already told Moses, explained to him, and also along the way helped him to see again how there are certain things that He wants them to go through, part of His purposes, meaning behind it. Likewise, at times, the positive results that come about may be primarily just the prayer of others, not very much to do with our response because we're not responding very well. At that time, we're very weak. It could have been primarily the prayer of others that saw us through and the positive results that took place, the change that came about. Sometimes, the major issue in a particular situation, for example, the difficulties can be primarily to do with the lives of other people, and the change comes about primarily because of the change in them. So the weightage in different situations, the weightage of the factors can vary, but often they are interrelated, and at times it can be helpful if we can recognize what are the factors in operation, the weightage, the relationship with one another, primarily helping us to know how to understand the posture we ought to take, how we ought to respond in that situation. So I go on now to consider some aspects which I see it will be helpful if we are able to apply during difficult times. So we need to ponder over them carefully so that we'll be able to know them so well that when we go through difficult times, it becomes quite part of us that we will just respond in that way as we look to the Lord. So during difficult times, it's helpful for us to ask some questions, helpful to ask and to try to understand. One, helpful for us to ask and to try to understand, is it primarily a lesson or lessons that God wants us, or that God wants to teach us? Is it primarily a lesson or lessons which God wants to teach us? And also to ask, what are they? It's very important to ask this question because God's intention is that we benefit from it. And this is the point where many feel, and it's a sad thing, that we miss a lot that God wants to teach us because we are too preoccupied with the problems. We fail properly in with a good attitude or heart to want to understand. Is it finally lessons that God wants to teach us, and what are they? And then to learn them well, whatever God may desire to teach us in that situation. So to learn to ponder over during such times, is it that God wants to teach us what it means to really trust Him? What is faith? What is the meaning of faith? Is it that He wants to teach us to learn to exercise the patience and to recognize how lacking we are in these areas? To teach us humility, endurance? Or is it that He wants us to develop our strength of spirit, our will, to continue to choose what is right and good, even though it's very difficult, and it seems we just compromise, we can just get out of a difficult situation? What do we choose? And various aspects of character. So we ponder over these things, as well as whether there are various areas of deficiencies that we need to look into. Is it that God allows us to go through these difficult times to show to us so that we can recognize them more clearly? Because at other times, we may not see these deficiencies so clearly. So such times can be helpful if we recognize them more clearly, and also becomes easier to know what to do about them, because the issues are more clearly defined during such times, especially if we are prayerful. So it means that during such times, we must be alert and prayerful to ponder over these things and to look to the Lord, to ask Him to help us to understand, and then having done so, having recognized, to then look to the Lord to learn well whatever God wants to teach us. The second question, second aspect we can try to understand, will be helpful, is to ask, is it because of a goal that God desires to be attained, or is it, or perhaps spiritual opposition that needs to be overcome? Is that the reason primarily why we're facing those very difficult times? Is it because of a positive goal that God wants accomplished? So we're cooperating with God, that is why we're facing the difficulties, and the spiritual opposition that needs to be overcome. Is this the main thing? If it is so, then we must look to the Lord for grace to persevere until we attain. Because it's something positive that God wants to attain. It's difficult, but we must persevere on. We look to the Lord to strengthen us to persevere until the spiritual opposition is overcome, until the attainments have been reached. That is, if this is God's will for us. By that I mean, sometimes, though we may be trying to move in a positive direction, to do something good in relation to God's work, and we're facing spiritual opposition, and that is why it's very difficult. But it may not necessarily be the Lord's will for us to persevere in that way, because perhaps we are not ready for it. So we need to ponder, are we getting into issues that are too difficult for us? We're not ready for it, it's beyond us. So the pressures are too intense. Though the objectives are good, our intentions are good, but we are not ready for it. If so, then we have to consider that perhaps we need to disengage. For example, trying to intensely to help and to pray and so on in the context of others and the spiritual struggles, we may have to stop doing those things, or we may have to reduce the degree of involvement. The degree of involvement in service, this can be reduction generally or specific involvements. Reduce generally means that we have been too involved. We are exercising ourselves too much spiritually and we can't take it. The pressures are too great for us. We do not have sufficient strength to go through it. Although we say that God's strength is infinite, if we trust God, we can go through all things. But there is also a reality of our own spiritual stature and what would be appropriate for us at different stages of development to be involved in. So some things are beyond us, are not suitable for us, and we are entering into it, although it's not God's desire for us to be involved to that degree. Of course, whatever God desires of us, we must trust Him for the grace and His enabling to go through it. But we can enter into areas that is not God's intention for us, we are not ready for it. So we need to ponder over, is it because of these things that's why it's so difficult? Should we then reduce our degree of involvement? So reduce generally means perhaps we're involved in too many things, so we reduce the number of things we're involved in. Or it can be reducing the sense of specific involvement. It may not be a question of quantity, a number of involvements, but perhaps a specific involvement is too difficult for us, so we need to stop that one or reduce it. Or one or two that may be beyond us and not wise for us to continue involved in that way. Or perhaps it's the kind or manner of involvement. So some kinds of involvement are not suitable for us. For example, the nature of the intensity of the spiritual struggles that are involved. So certain kinds of difficulties, certain kinds of problems, it may not be wise for us to be involved in them, and so we withdraw. Or sometimes the manner of involvement, we may not be withdraw completely, but perhaps we can continue to pray. Or sometimes the manner of prayer, we'll talk about this in times past, some kinds of prayer can be spiritually very taxing or can also result in great intense spiritual difficulties for the person praying. But you can pray generally for a lot to undertake in the situation without praying too strongly against the powers of darkness in a way which we are not able to go through properly. So we can reduce the spiritual pressure because it's too much for us. So these are things that we can consider and evaluate. But if we are clear that some of the difficulties are encountered because of certain things that God wants us to work at, and the spiritual opposition, but if it's clear it's the Lord's will for us to be in it, then we should not withdraw just because it is difficult. We must persevere until it is accomplished, so long as we continue to evaluate the Lord's will for us in that context. Because the Lord's will for us also is dynamic. At times, the Lord may want us to be involved at the beginning, but after some time, because other factors have come in, He may no longer want us to continue on in that way. So we need to continually evaluate. And sometimes, some difficulties are such that for certain periods, He may want us to be deeply involved in a certain way. But as time passes by, the situation changes, and He may no longer want us to be involved with that kind of intensity. So we must be prayerful, we must continually look to the Lord. Not looking for an easy way out, but to understand what the Lord desires of us and to obey Him accordingly. The third question we can ask would be, in what ways are the powers of darkness at work in the situation? In what ways are the powers of darkness at work in a situation to hinder us, oppose us, discourage us? We don't just get preoccupied with the struggles, the difficulties, and just hope to get out of it. Or just allow ourselves to feel very miserable, but we ponder over. So for example, whether is it direct spiritual pressure, or are there illnesses that the evil one may be at work in the situation inflicting upon us? And sometimes it can be attacks on our feelings, on our moods. They make us feel very miserable, make us feel low. But actually they can be overcome. When we resist them, it may go away. Or to stir up various kinds of problems, for example, area of relationship, resulting in much pain, misunderstandings, strains. If you are not prayerful, you may not recognize that the powers of darkness may be at work in these various areas, and as a result, we may be suffering unnecessarily because we do not know how to pray against all the powers of darkness at work. To ponder, powers of darkness may also be stirring up people to make life difficult for us. Stir them up to find fault with us, to quarrel with us, or even people with ill intentions towards us. Whether it be a place of work, or difficulties in the home, or even difficulties we encounter from friends. But of course, in all these areas, very important to remind ourselves again and again that we shouldn't just look at it from the angle, well, people are making life difficult for us. Is it really true? Or has it a lot to do with our own weaknesses in that context? What I'm saying is that we need to be alert to it, because at times it can be that way. There are even stirring up difficulties for us, for people, for work situations. Even can also make circumstances difficult for us. Various problems emerge, crop up. But as I said, we need to ponder whether are they difficult and has a lot to do with our own failures, which we need first to correct. But it's helpful to recognize whether the powers of darkness are at work in those situations, and to a degree we can recognize that they may be at work or clear that they are at work, we then turn to pray against these things, to counter them, to resist them, and also to learn how to pray for the Lord's protection, for the Lord's undertaking, and also to pray for wisdom from the Lord, how to respond to the situation, wisdom how to conduct ourselves. Because if we have wisdom how to conduct ourselves, we can reduce the difficulties, though not always that way, but we can. So we need to be alert, prayerful. Otherwise, we may not recognize the evil one is at work, and as a result, fail to pray against it. Although we talk about these things, nevertheless, often, when we are in the midst of the difficulties, we may fail to look to God to understand what is happening, and to learn to respond and to pray accordingly. Some forms of spiritual attacks are easier to recognize. For example, in the context of greater intensity in spiritual service, we experience spiritual pressures. That may be easier to recognize, even though that also at times we do not recognize it. But at times there can be various other forms of spiritual attacks which may be more difficult to recognize if we are not alert, because we can easily attribute them to other reasons. So in talking to various ones, it's obvious, and it comes about that although many of these things has been talked about, people recognize there are these principles, these truths in operation, and they actually go through many things they never think about or ponder about, but just accept them. Because, for example, you may attribute to other reasons, or just consider them to be natural. When these things just take place, and forget that the powers of darkness may be at work in the situation, and in some context, in fact, the pattern is there and is quite, is reasonably clear. In all likelihood, the powers of darkness are very much at work in the situation. So for example, a person may in a more definite way seek to work out his life before the Lord, more serious, a very definite attempt to try to work out his life before the Lord. And he may not ponder about it, but he just finds it very difficult. He begins to be afflicted by various illnesses, and then in the work context, various difficulties arises, various pressures, relationship problems emerge. And also, perhaps when he's trying to spend his time with the Lord, he finds difficulty perhaps in getting up, difficulty in concentration, difficulty in receiving, easily distracted. And as a result, he finds that those times are not meaningful, and he becomes discouraged. And after a while, not careful, then this determination to work out his life may then just dwindle off because in the midst of various difficulties, work pressures and so on, he either becomes discouraged, distracted, or just get worn out. And he may not even think about, ponder about, or be alert to the fact that the powers of darkness may be at work in the situation, because illness, you can just consider it as natural. A person can at times just fall ill. Work difficulties, there are always work difficulties, at any time they can crop up, and so on. So it's helpful for us to be alert, be prayerful, so that we know how to look to the Lord and to consider, to ponder about what way the powers of darkness may be at work, and even if we are not certain. But we recognize it could be, and we know the powers of darkness are always looking for opportunities to take advantage of the situation. So it may be true, in the workplace there may be some difficulty. It's true that in the workplace there may be difficulties, but at times it can be primarily the evil one at work in the context at that point of time to stir up all these difficulties or relationship problems or illnesses and so on. So we need, on the one hand, to conduct ourselves well, to take the necessary steps, for example, to look after our health. But we also need to recognize that as we pray about these things and we adopt a proper posture, often there can be a difference, at times a significant difference that we notice. And sometimes it can be rather dramatic, so we are aware and we can recognize that in all likelihood it has to do with the powers of darkness and for the situation. And sometimes in the very posture of looking to the Lord to protect us, a more conscious prayer for the Lord to protect and not allow the power of darkness to disturb us in any way. And if the power of darkness may be at work in these areas, the Lord undertake and not to allow them to work in that context can already make a definite difference in the situation. The fourth question helpful to ask is, what are the spiritual principles and truths that we can learn? Or truths and principles we can put into practice, which we have been learning? What are the spiritual principles and truths we can learn? Or truths and principles we can put into practice, these truths and principles which we have been learning? This fourth question has relationship, best relationship with question 1 and question 3. But question 1, the emphasis is more on the quality of our lives, our being, our character, lessons that God wants to teach us in relation to our character and qualities He wants to develop within us, and deficiencies and so on. But question 4 is more general. Any spiritual principles, truths that we've been learning and God wants us to put them into practice, or truths and principles we can learn in that context. But when question 3 also has a bearing, because if we are prayerful, we seek to understand how the powers of darkness at work in the situation, there are also many truths and principles in that context that we can learn. So during such times, it's helpful for us to ponder over what we can learn about God, about realities in the spiritual realm, about prayer, people, spiritual warfare, and so on. People, because in the midst of those difficulties, it involves people and so on, so you are prayerful, we begin to have a better understanding of people at a deeper level, what it means, and also relationship between people, their conduct, their thoughts, their ways, and prayer, and so on. A timing. Various aspects of truths we learn about God as we ponder about it, as we learn to go through the situation well. Many of these truths become much more, much clearer to us, and deeper appreciation of these things, what they mean. And various principles of truths we've been learning from the scriptures and from what we've been hearing. So we ponder about them and learn about it. There's much that can come through in a rather refreshing way as we go through such times. Now go on to question 5. Question 5, divide into two parts, A and B. 5A. In a way that there's a relationship to all the other questions. It's formed in a more general form. And that is, how best can I cooperate with God in the situation? In that context. How best can I cooperate with God in the situation in that context? This is a very important question to ask. Because primarily, our whole lives, the most important issue has to do with our walk with God. What God desires, what God requires of us, and are we cooperating with Him well? So it's not to be preoccupied with the pains and struggles and the difficulties, or how best to get out of it. But how best can I cooperate with God in the situation, in that context? And so we need to ask, how does God look at it? How does He want me to look at it? What does He desire and require of me in that context? In other words, if we learn how to ask this question, it will be very helpful that we then do not go through in a subjective manner. This is very important. During such times, we can be very subjective, preoccupied with our pain and struggles and looking at things from a very subjective viewpoint. Never go through such situations in a subjective manner. For example, to respond according to how we feel, according to our inclinations. So it's important for us during such times, in a definite effort, to pray, to look to the Lord, to understand how we cooperate with Him, how does God look at it, so that we can be more objective. And sometimes others may be able to help us in that direction. How does God look at it? How does He want me to look at it? Sometimes by just asking these questions can straight away help us to recognize that we're rather subjective in that context in a manner that's not helpful. We've been going through primary basis of feelings and inclinations and be affected negatively by issues that should not have affected us in that way. Because we know that God doesn't want us to look at those things in that way. B, related to A and a follow-up from A, is that to remember that such context, and even life generally, is always dynamic. Things are moving, it's not static. So we must remember that such contexts are dynamic. So we must maintain a lively faith, a lively walk with God. Not sufficient just at one point to ponder about it, recognize some issues, and continue just put on working at it in the same way. We need to continue to maintain a lively faith and lively walk with God, and to be alert if whether that changes may be taking place. Changes do take place, and we may then need to change our approach, our involvement, our response accordingly. So we need to be alert, whatever the Lord may be trying to speak to us, to help us to understand, to recognize. If we are not alert, we are not lively in our walk with God, then there will be many things God wants to speak to us, but He cannot get through to us. Our minds are closed. So we need to maintain a lively walk with God. So we need to continue to be prayerful, to be alert, to ponder over issues. And having done all that we can, we then act to the best that we know how. I say we then act to the best we know how because sometimes people may ask, or they may say, you see, we look to the Lord, we want to understand what the Lord desires of us, what God requires of us. I've been praying, I've been considering, but I don't hear very clearly God telling me I must do this, I must do that. So as a result, they then become rather passive. The Lord speaks to us in many different ways. Some issues he speaks to us in very clear terms, if we are, especially if we are open to him. But there are various areas of truths and principles we ponder over and we look to the Lord. He will help us be clearer, the direction, the movement, and so on. But the main thing is that if we have done our part properly, we are prayerful, we look to him, we continually evaluate and ponder over, then we must then act according to the best that we know how. And trust that the Lord will undertake whatever aspects we don't understand. And also, if there are things that we need to understand, because we are open to him, he will show to us. Even sometimes we are not very clear, we make a mistake here and there, that he will undertake, he will help us to recognize if we are open to him. So we shouldn't go through passively, but we respond to the best that we know how, having pondered over, prayed over, and continually alert to whatever the Lord may be speaking to us, guiding us, moving us towards. And then the last question you can ask is also to consider whether we should seek counsel or prayer support or just get fellowship with others. To consider whether we should seek counsel or seek prayer support or just fellowship. Seeking counsel can come from different ones, so we ponder how serious is the matter, who would be appropriate to talk these things over and to ask others for their comments and whatever counsel, advice they may have for us, and also their support. And then prayer support, again, prayer support can be different kinds of different categories. Sometimes it's personal, someone, because the matter is not very major. But when it comes to major issues, then we have to ponder whether we need more definite and more effective prayer support, stronger prayer support. Or sometimes, going through difficulties, it may not be very wise to share some of the things that we are going through, not appropriate. But some degree of fellowship with others can be an encouragement to us. So we ponder about these things, consider them, and then we act accordingly. But one observation in this regard is that generally, intense difficulties that we go through, generally it is not wise for us to go through on our own. Generally, for intense difficulties, it is not wise to go through on our own. It's not that every little thing that we go through, we straight away run to other people without, on our part, seeking to try to work out our lives and to put in our own effort as we look to the Lord, to struggle through some of the issues of life, but just completely just relying on others but not doing our part. You know, we shouldn't go to that extreme. But generally, as we seek to work out, we should also be open to the fellowship of others, their support, and their counsel, and especially when we go through intensely difficult times. It's generally not wise. We go through on our own and nobody knows about it. It can be rather dangerous. There are some points now that I want to consider with you. Some points that are helpful to take note of and also to ponder over in regards to this issue of intense difficulties or difficulties of a prolonged nature. One, intense difficulties or difficulties of a prolonged nature can be very hard to go through, very difficult to endure. But such times, it often has to do with significant issues being at stake. To realize this, often intensely difficult times, hard to go through, hard to endure, often significant issues are at stake, whether we go through well or not. So if you are conscious of this, it will help us be more careful. If we do not go through well, the consequences can be serious. If we go through well, the positive aspects can also be very significant. Often is significant. Such times are significant. Let us not just simply go through it, but to realize that often is significant either way, and can go either way. It can be rather helpful, it can we can come to, we can go to, and come out of it in a bad state, or worse off, in a significant measure, in a significant way. So it can be significant, and significant issues can be at stake either way, and it can be true for ourselves, it can be significant for ourselves. But it, the significance and also have to do with the lives of other people. We go through well during such times and fulfill our heart well, what God desires of us, it can have very significant positive effects for other people. But if we don't go through well, we may fail to contribute what we can to the lives of others just because it is difficult. It can have significant outcome in relation to God's work. We're involved in something, and if God's work is involved in that context, in the intense difficulties we go through well, there can be advancement. But if we fail miserably, then God's work can be negatively affected or fail to make the kind of progress that God desires in that context. So if we go through it properly, it can be very meaningful and beneficial for ourselves and for the Lord's work. And to realize that basically this is God's intention in the matter. God's intention is that we go through it properly and that it be meaningful and beneficial. And that is why James can tell us to count it all joy. Why is it James says count it all joy when you encounter various trials? Count it all joy. Because God's intention for it is positive, meaningful, beneficial. The testing of our faith is involved in the context, but it produces endurance, which is helpful, positive, important quality, that we may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now this is to do with ourselves, but what James says in the first chapter of James, first few verses, it doesn't cover every aspect, but this is one major aspect of our own lives. And we need to ask ourselves, can we adopt such a posture during such times? We have heard about these things and we are familiar with what James has to say about counting all joy, and it sounds very familiar. But the important thing is, are we able to really count it all joy? Not just say I agree, or the lips we can affirm, but during such times can we really affirm this posture to count it all joy in the sense that we realize that God's intention in the matter is meaningful and positive, beneficial. In that sense, we count it all joy. There's meaning in it. It's something positive. To go through it properly, it is meaningful. Can we adopt such a posture? The moment you adopt such a posture, it makes a lot of difference compared to one who goes through very downhearted, miserable, wishing to get out of it. Just the very change of the posture makes a lot of difference to the whole thing. Because the very posture that we adopt straight away also has implications in the spiritual realm, and how God and the liberty with which God and freedom with which God can work in the context, as well as an effect on the powers of darkness, what they can or the limitations they have in working in the context. It's the very posture that we adopt if it is deep and strong and definite. Second point to ponder over, two parts A and B. A, our willingness to suffer for the truth, for the Lord and for His kingdom. Our willingness to suffer for the truth, for the Lord and for His kingdom, and the extent we are prepared to go is part of the expression of the measure of the preciousness and importance of these to us. Our willingness to suffer for the truth, for the Lord, for His kingdom, and the extent we are prepared to go is part of the expression of the measure of the preciousness and importance of these to us. We may say we are willing to suffer for the Lord, to suffer for the truth, or we may say we love the truth, we love the Lord, and we are concerned about God's kingdom. But having heard, pondered, realized the meaning of sufferings and all the things that we're going through, in the end, when it comes to the real test, are we really willing to suffer for the truth, for the Lord, for His kingdom? Are we willing? And to what extent? We say we are willing, but to what extent? And during times of intense difficulty, she may be really taxed. Probably been considering these few messages and the poem we just read just now. It can be very, very taxing. But if you are prepared to go through it well, and willing to suffer and not deviate from it, not compromising or murmuring, then it reveals. It's a part of the expression of the measure, the preciousness of these things to us. How precious are truths to us? How important is it? How much does it mean to us? Are we prepared to suffer for the Lord, for His kingdom, for the truth? So times of intense difficulties can help to reveal what is within our hearts. And God often allows us to go through all these things to reveal the qualities within us and also to nurture it. Often we see we love the Lord, but we may not realize how deficient it is. So such times of intense difficulties help reveal what is within us and the quality of it. And not just reveal and stop at that. But God's intention is for us to recognize and then to do something about it, how we can deepen it. And if there are deficiencies, then to realize how weak we are and what we need to do about it. How urgent it is. But having said this, to complement it, we need to consider 2B, and that is, we do not wish to suffer unnecessarily. And we reject and resist what is of the evil one. Now this we just mentioned, we all agree to it. But it is actually rather important for us during such times to recognize this point, because often we will be suffering unnecessarily. And sometimes some people seem to view the suffering is good, and because of that, their posture is not very healthy. As a result, they go through and they suffer a lot of things unnecessarily, thinking it's good to suffer in that context, and it can be part of expression of their love for God, for truth, and so on. But we must be careful not to suffer unnecessarily. And we need to reject, to resist what the power of darkness and work is doing, reject what they are doing. And also, we must try to ensure we do not suffer because of ignorance, especially when we need not be ignorant, or to suffer because of foolishness or wrongdoing. This is very important. Many people attribute their sufferings because of their love for God and truth and God's kingdom and so on. But in reality, they are suffering because of their own foolishness, their own wrongdoing. So it's no point in saying that you're suffering for God's kingdom, because God can see it. If in reality it's not that, it's no use. We must make sure that we are not suffering because of foolishness, because of our own wrongdoing. We must take corrective measures in all these areas, but willing to suffer patiently together with the, to go through together with the Lord, whatever is part of faithful walk with God. If it's part of faithful walk with God and it entails sufferings and pains, then we endure it patiently, entrusting ourselves the faithful Creator as we seek to continue to do what is right. Now I'll go on to the third point, which bears a relationship to the second, and that is the importance of perseverance. The importance of perseverance, and hopefully that we may also be a bit clearer about the meaning of perseverance, although we might intend to elaborate, but I want to highlight that perseverance is a very crucial issue of true discipleship, and also in the context of sufferings and difficulties. And that when I talk about perseverance, it's not just merely holding on. Some people may crumble and deviate from the Lord, lose heart as well. And some may think if I just hold on, it will be very good already. But perseverance is not just merely holding on. But perseverance includes the proper exercise of ourselves in every aspect that we should. There's a meaning of perseverance. Some people think I'm enduring and persevering, but actually it's not. True perseverance. True perseverance, you go through it without murmuring and all that is true, with the right perspective, and it includes the proper exercise of ourselves in every aspect, including our attitudes, our conduct, and also our prayer life. I I say including, but it's all inclusive. It includes every aspect. We must exercise ourselves properly in every aspect and continue to do so. Not just for a moment of time, but continue to do so. That is perseverance. And that is a very important quality that all of us must develop. And we persevere even if there are no obvious outward changes for the better. Sometimes people respond well for a while, and then they do not see obvious outward changes for the better, they lose heart, and they no longer persevere in the sense that I'm talking about, properly exercising themselves in every aspect to the degree that they should be able to do so. Or even if it appears to be degenerating, we must persevere, but be very considered, persevere in the direction in line with what we understand the Lord desires of us, in line with the will of God. And especially concerning important issues, we must be even more careful to persevere, and that our earnestness do not slacken. And this is true whether it be regards to our personal struggles or even our concern for others. We must persevere, even though it's difficult to persevere on. Many can appear to respond well and be earnest for short periods of time, but few persevere well. I say many can appear to respond well. I say appear because to me, I don't think they're even responding well, even for a brief period of time. Often, although it's possible to appear to respond well for a brief period of time, but many can appear to respond well and earnest for a short period of time. You appear earnest, you appear to respond very well, but actually, even for that brief period of time, the quality is very lacking. It's just outward, superficial. But many appear to respond well and earnest for a short period of time, but there are few who can really persevere well continually, line with what God desires. And this is a very important quality we must develop. And it reflects on our whole person, our being, our character, our maturity, our love for the Lord, our love for the truth, for His kingdom, for people. It also is a reflection that our response is not just something momentary and emotional. Some people respond on an emotional basis. But our deep conviction, we persevere on. It is a very important quality. So earnestness and intensity in our whole approach, including prayer, should not slacken because of neglect or carelessness, or we lose heart, or we grow weary with passing time. But having said this, we must bear in mind the other side, and that is the intensity with which we work at issues, they can vary according to a sober consideration of the matter and what God requires of us. I mentioned just now, the situations are dynamic, so we need to evaluate. So if there's a sober consideration of the matter, then you realize that in our walk with God, you'll find that there are some periods whereby it's appropriate, some issues are urgent, and we need to respond deeply, earnestly for a period of time. But after that, it varies. And then it may come back again. We may then need to exercise ourselves very earnestly again. There's a place for that, but it's due to a sober consideration of the matter and what God desires of us. So in that sense, it can vary, and we must vary, because that would be appropriate for the context. And sometimes undue earnestness on issues can then sap our energy. We are not able to tend to other things that are more needful and urgent. So we need to be wise, continually open to the Lord to understand. But it is based on sober consideration before the Lord, and not because of lack of the quality of perseverance. Or, for example, the need to regulate, to consider this. So sometimes we need to regulate, not because we are not willing or we lack convictions, but we have to regulate because it's too much for us. We have been struggling in that matter too strongly, and the pressures are too great, we have to regulate. That's different. And that is needful. And now going to the fourth aspect, fourth point to ponder over, take note of. And here I want to consider with you context where the afflictions are primarily due to deficiencies within us or to wrongdoing. Where afflictions are primarily due to deficiencies within us or wrongdoing on our part, and it's an expression of God's chastening and God's disciplining hand. And this we must be alert with, can be what's happening in times of intense difficulties. This can be either one of the issues involved, or it can even be the primary thing. Sometimes more than one thing can be relevant in a particular situation we are going through. But sometimes this is involved, and this time may be even the primary thing. Now, if this is so, then it is very important for us not only to recognize it, but to learn deeply. Especially if the difficulties are rather intense, and what is afflicting us because of His disciplining hand upon us, then we must learn deeply. God spoke to the nation of Israel in Isaiah 48 verse 10. Let's turn to Isaiah 48 verse 10. The Lord says, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." The Lord says, "I have refined you, but not as silver." Maybe we are more familiar with God refining us just as He refines silver. But He says, "I have refined you, but not as silver," because silver is not refined in the same way as God refines us. That's why it is not as silver. Not in the same way that He refines silver. But it says, "I've tested you in the furnace of affliction." I've tested you. Test here has to do with the sufferings, the difficulties that they go through. "I've tested you in the furnace of affliction." Silver refined through actual heat and actual furnace. Literal furnace. But for us, it's the furnace of affliction. So in a sense, He's refining us, but not the same way as silver is refined. For us, the way God refines us, a major aspect of it, or one way in which it can come through to us, one way that God refines us is through affliction, the furnace of affliction. And if you look at the context here is the context of rebellious Israel. For example, verse 1 of chapter 28, "Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are named Israel, who came forth from the loins of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord and invoke the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness." So they are people who invoke the name of God, but not in truth nor in righteousness. A form of godliness. They may use religious language, even the name of God, but not in truth nor in righteousness. Their lives are not right. And the following verses continues in that direction. Just look at one more verse, verse 8. "You have not heard, you have not known, even from long ago your ear has not been opened." You were not open to the Lord. "Because I knew that you would deal very treacherously, and you have been called a rebel from birth." So they have not been hearing, they have not been hearkening. They have not been receptive, responsive. "You are treacherous and rebel, rebellious." So there was a context. Rebellious Israel, their lives not right. And the context God mentions about how you're going, that He will let them go through very great afflictions to refine them through the furnace of affliction. So God wants to remove impurities of our lives through afflictions, to refine us, that we may then move on towards a higher quality of life. That is God's intention. Not just to inflict pain upon us, but that we may then move on to a higher quality of life, to remove the impurities within. But having said this, even when this principle is in operation, we must bear in mind that the degree of pain that a person goes through does not necessarily commensurate with the degree of wrongdoing, the degree of guilt, or the seriousness of our life not being right. The degree of pain that we go through does not necessarily commensurate with the degree of wrongdoing or the seriousness of our lives not being right with God. God deals with different ones of us differently, not according to partiality, but He deals with us differently because we are different. According to His perfect wisdom, what is best for us and also for His kingdom. And sometimes because He wants to train us, He may afflict us in the certain areas in our lives He's not pleased with. And sometimes when we reach a certain degree of our walk with God, of development, there are certain areas of wrongdoing, wrong attitudes on our part. God may then regard it more seriously and may afflict us more severely than someone who may actually be conducting their lives or in that area even more seriously wrong than us. God deals with us differently. There are different reasons, different factors that God bears in mind. But just like you mentioned, when we look around us or even our own experience, either because we see someone being severely afflicted and we believe that this principle is in operation in the sense that it's because of wrongdoing, then it must mean that the degree that they are suffering, that degree their lives are not right. Or in our own lives, if we are suffering intensely, we then conclude that it must mean that our lives are very, very seriously wrong with God, measured by the degree of pain. But having said this, that it does not necessarily commensurate with the degree of wrongdoing, the degree of pain, we must also ponder over carefully. Because if God is afflicting us severely because of wrongdoing, then often the wrongdoing is very significant in the eyes of the Lord, and also very serious in our lives. But the measurement may not be a question of comparison with other people, which is not something that we should be primarily concerned about. But if God is afflicting us, and the affliction, the pain that is being afflicted, it's not because of, the pain doesn't arise because of faithful service and the pressures that come, but primarily because of wrongdoing, life is not right, then we treat it very seriously. And to make sure we understand what it's all about and to learn deeply. Because if God afflicts us severely, it means the issues are very important. When we are not walking well with God, or we are going away from Him, in reality, if not in the profession of our lips, then He may allow us to be afflicted, that we may seek Him at times. This happens. You can look at Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. Hosea after Daniel. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. I will go away and return to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. So, again, their guilt, their wrongdoing. So God says, I will go away and return to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. God afflicts them, and the purpose behind it is that they will then acknowledge, recognize their wrongdoing, and earnestly seek God. This is one of the reasons why God afflicts His children, that they may recognize their guilt, their wrongdoing, and earnestly seek God. Verse 13 tells us, when Ephraim saw his sickness, Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jared, but he is unable to heal you or to cure you of your wound. First of all, God has afflicted them because of their wrongdoing, and then you see they went to Assyria. Here, they're going to Assyria is an indication of the way of the world. They approach it, they thought that Assyria will be able to help them. Fleshly ways. But not properly learning how to turn to God. And He will not help. He is unable to heal you or to cure you of your wound. It will not really help. But it may appear to help. At that time, Assyria is a great power, so it may appear to be able to help. But not in the sense that really counts. hand, the other in relation to this is to realize that in our response to God in such context, we must make sure that it's not superficial. God wants us to seek Him as He afflicts us in this way, but we must make sure that it's not superficial, outward, temporary response. All this will not do, and this often happens. In our affliction, we recognize, we ponder, we recognize our lives are not right, so we acknowledge, we confess our sins, and we tell the Lord, I'm sorry, and we seek the Lord. We may even seem to be seeking God very earnestly, very emotionally, and crying out to Him. But in the midst of all the crying and the apparent earnestness, it can be actually very superficial, outward, and temporary. But this will not do. That is where in chapter 6 immediately follows to warn us of this. These are the words of the response of the Israelites. Come, let us return to the Lord. It sounds good. Come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn us, but He will heal us. So the answer lies in God. It sounds good. He has wounded us, but He will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. So the recognition that affliction comes from the Lord, now seeking the Lord. He will raise us up on the third day that we may live before Him. Verse 3, so let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. All this sounds very good. His going forth is as certain as a dawn, and He will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. Oh, as we read this, it all sounds so good. And this is true in many of the lives of believers. It may sound good, it may appear to be responding well to God, but what is the response of God? Verse 4. Very tragic, very sad. The words of verse 4 and 5 are very solemn words, and try to get the sense of it. How God must have felt within as the Lord responds to these words. They sound so good. He says, what shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? For your loyalty is like a morning cloud and like the dew which goes away early. Your loyalty, or your so-called word can be translated love, or steadfast love, loving kindness, and so on. What is supposed to be so good, you know, that kind of response is like a morning cloud and like the dew which goes away early, just temporary, superficial. And what shall I do with you? You respond like this. Sounds good, appears good, but so superficial and temporary, like the morning cloud, the dew which goes away early. Verse 5. This is, therefore I have hewn them in pieces by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and the judgments on you are like the light that goes forth. The severity of God's judgment. Because superficial, outward, temporary response will not do. But what is it that God looks for? Genuine, deep response. Verse 6. For I delight in loyalty, real loyalty, real steadfast love, not that kind of loyalty in verse 4 in inverted commas, that's like a morning cloud. For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, just the outward, and the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings, the true knowledge of God. And he responds to God. He must be deep, genuine. Now I want to go on to some concluding remarks on this whole subject that we've been considering, intense difficulties and prolonged difficulties. Some concluding remarks. There is very much meaning and much that we can learn during suppressed with this truth. But we must also recognize the need to persevere and to respond well. However difficult, however intense, however long the duration, is this our deep conviction, our posture? We must come to this point. If not, we will always be unstable in our lives. And to realize that God's grace is always sufficient, especially during such times, we must be deeply convicted of this. Though we feel as if we cannot carry on, His grace will be sufficient for us. And often, during such times, there will be special enabling that comes from the Lord, especially if our attitudes are positive. At times, we can actually experience it in a very definite way, His definite special enabling. At times, we may not realize it's happening, but God will enable us. We must trust Him that His grace is sufficient. So do not be deterred. however difficult, or whatever may be the outward appearance of things. Sometimes it may appear as if the difficulties will just carry on indefinitely, there's no way out, or appears to be degenerating, appears to be seriously damaging consequences about to take place. Do not be deterred by all this. We have considered that in reality, at times, in reality, there may be progress in the spiritual realm, or the people involved who are contributing the difficulties, the intense difficulties, there may be progress in the inward state that's not obvious outwardly. And we have considered how relief and positive development may be about to take place. So during such times, it's important for us to persevere in faith until victory. But I want now to carry on to say that to persevere on until victory, or whatever the outcome of things, because it may not move the way that we've been considering in the three propositions in this message, in these messages, the subtopic we've been considering of how situations may appear likely to continue indefinitely or degenerating or developing intensity towards a crisis and seriously damaging consequences, but how in reality dawn may be about to break or positive development may be about to take place. Sometimes it takes place in this way, but it may not, and I'll elaborate afterwards. It may not, outcome may not be that way. But whatever it is, we must learn well, whatever God wants us to learn, and there are precious things to learn. But the important issue is we must not become discouraged, depressed, or lose heart, low in spirit. We must make sure this does not happen. We talk about the meaning of perseverance. Because we lose heart, become discouraged, we will not be able to respond well. And to realize the evil one is actively at work all the time, seeking to influence us in these directions. Because once he can influence us in those directions, we will not be able to stand firm in the Lord, in the truth. We will not be able to counter him properly, and we will lose the battle. You can compare this, or perhaps you can say, we will not then be able to fight a good fight, as Paul puts, to fight a good fight. You can compare this with low morale. Compare this, for example, soldiers, when their morale is low, how can they fight a good fight? Or even workplaces, where the morale is low, how can you do a good job? Or in any project that you may be working at, if your morale is low, how can you put in good effort? We can sum up our response in this way. It's very important for us. And that is the important issue has to do with faith in the context of faithfulness. You can summarize it this way. Faith in the context of faithfulness. I put it in this form because although faithfulness implies faith, I put it in this form because sometimes people say they are trying to exercise faith. So they are I'm trusting God. But they actually are not being faithful. So though it's I trust God, it doesn't work out well. You must first learn to fulfill your faithfulness and your do all that is required of you, your proper response. Exercise yourself in whatever God desires and requires of you. The faithfulness must be in place. Fulfill your part. And in that context, together with that, the exercise of faith, then the exercise of faith is very meaningful. Faith in the context of faithfulness. On the other hand, we may try very hard to struggle through the difficulties, trying to do whatever we can, but we forget. And on top of all this, we must maintain a deep sense of confidence in God, trusting God. That having done our part, we can trust Him. We need not be anxious, worried, disturbed, lose heart. Do our part, and we can have a deep sense of peace, confidence of the meaning of what is going on, even though it's very difficult and at times it may appear that something very seriously wrong is about to take place, which I want to elaborate afterwards. But having fulfilled our part, we probably trust God and learn to go through together with Him, in fellowship with Him, and then be prepared to face whatever consequences and the outcome of things. This is important. Having done that, we must be prepared to face whatever consequences and outcome of things. And that's where I want you to take note of this point, and that is that there may be relief and definite positive development in line with what we are considering in these three messages. Dawn breaks and the positive development taking place, and so on, though it appears not so. It may be, such things may happen. There may be relief and positive development in that kind of sense. But there may also be rather unpleasant and even negative consequences and outcome of things. For one thing, the difficulties, we may be hoping for dawn to break, but it may carry on. It may not stop. Or the unpleasantness, the pain continues, and not only that. Sometimes there may even be negative consequences and outcome of things. That is, the outcome of things is not always positive. And that is, even if we have been faithful. Now this, maybe said this may sound really puzzling to you, and you say this sounds very discouraging. I've been faithful and done what I can, and yet the outcome can be negative. How can it be? I wonder why I say this. And I will go further and say that there can be damaging consequences. There may be damaging consequences. We must face it. This part of the realities of life is different from many of the books that children read. Many things that it told these, but it always ends happily ever after all. But even the some of the story books that children read will also have some parallel with what we are considering, because it doesn't really always end happily after for everybody. We are the evil people who will suffer. And when I say there can be damaging consequences, the reason is because there may be others in that context, in that situation, whose attitudes and ways are negative or improper. And because there may be others whose attitudes and ways are negative or improper. And having said this, this is the part that I see is very helpful for us to have a good grasp of. On the one hand, to realize that there can be negative consequences, there can be damaging consequences because of the wrong attitudes and negative attitudes, conduct of others. But a very precious assurance to us is this, who seek to be faithful to the Lord, that even in context of negative outcome of things, there will not be negative effects on those who trust God and are faithful to Him. There will not be negative effects on those who trust God and are faithful to Him. This is a very precious assurance that we can lay hold on. And Romans chapter 8 verse 28 operates even in such context. Damaging consequences may arise. Romans 8 28, we are familiar. May God cause all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That is, if we love God, God causes all things to work together for good. The situations we go through, good will come out of it for those who love Him, who are faithful to Him. And yet it's negative. The negative effects are only upon those who do not respond well, or those whose attitudes are negative in that situation. If you are negative in that situation, your attitudes are not good, then it may be negative for you. We can consider, for example, Paul's description about how he agonized for the Jews. We read the words in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 4. Paul says, I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. Unceasing grief or pain. Unceasing pain in my heart. or I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belong the adoption as sons, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the temple service, and the promises. So Paul reveals something very deep within him, and even says, my conscience bearing me in a witness and voice, I'm not lying. That is, he's trying to reveal something that even we might have to understand, to appreciate. He says, I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart, pain, unceasing pain, and great sorrow. He agonized a lot. For whom? For the Israelites, he mentions in verse 4. I could wish I myself were cursed. So much did he care for them. He agonized for them. He would be willing to do a lot for them. He went through much pain and grief, sorrow because of them. He must have prayed much for them. And yet, we know that the outcome for many of them was not positive. Many of them did not respond well. In fact, many of them taunted him, chased him, opposed him from city to city. It caused a lot of problems for Paul's ministry and the Lord's work. They made life very difficult for him. Many did not respond well. The outcome for them was not positive. Now, I will not elaborate in other contexts where we know that not always all things turn out well and everybody benefits. But it's crucial for us to realize that we must respond well, whatever the situation, however difficult, whatever the duration, and if we respond well, we can then be assured that there will be meaning and positive implications. This is assurance that we can have. A deep assurance, a strong, definite assurance that there will be meaning and positive implications for all those who love and trust God, and also for those who are open to the truth. Even non-believers can benefit. If they are open to the truth, they can also be touched and benefit. And if we reflect upon it, we cannot properly ask for more. We cannot properly ask for more. God, the perfect one, who loves all men. You may see how, why not? Everything turns out well. Everybody benefits. But actually, we cannot properly ask for more. Because God is a moral being. And to reflect upon it, it's not meaningful that even if people harden their hearts, they reject the truth, they are not willing to respond positively, and yet it turns out well for them, it cannot work that way. But those with difficulties, with failures, with struggles, but they are open, they can benefit as they turn to the Lord. But if we harden our hearts, we turn away from the Lord, we do negative things, persist in that direction, not dependent, then the outcome for us can be rather damaging. Because there are varying degrees of seriousness of these principles in operation. At times it can be very, very serious, and we can go very far away from the Lord and suffer the wrath of God. So in times of intense difficulties, just a few brief remarks, then we'll close. A few brief remarks that we can bear in mind. Few truths very quickly. That in times of intense difficulties, when we feel very difficult to carry on properly, it's very helpful for us to lay hold of the fact of God's sovereign undertaking and regulating what's happening. No matter what people may be doing, the past owners, whatever they may be doing, whatever people may be doing, lay hold of this precious truth of God's sovereign undertaking, and He's regulating. That's why Paul can tell us in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 that no temptation, or you can translate as trial or testing, you see, no temptation or trial or test has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, not only you may experience it. And God is faithful. It rests upon the faithfulness of God. He will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond what you are able. God regulates. He's in control. No matter what others may be doing, or the power of darkness, circumstances, God will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, a way out for you. There will be a path for you. You need never come to a position where you say, there's no way out for me, I just cannot. There will always be a way out. God regulates. Be deeply convicted of His truth. Then you may be able to endure it. And the endurance there is the same direction as what we've been talking about, perseverance. Not just holding on, but to go through it well. There's no situation that we cannot go through well. God sovereignly advocates. So we must persevere in faith and not shrink back. Otherwise, He has no pleasure in us. If we want to develop deep relationship with God, there must be quality of faith. We must persevere in faith and not shrink back. Hebrews 10:38. Otherwise, there's no pleasure in us because there's little quality in our profession of love for God and love for the truth. They mean little to us. Difficulties, we shrink back. So there's no real quality, moral qualities in our lives. Do you really love the truth or will compromise when there are difficulties? So one last verse as an encouragement to us. James 1:12. James, you know, in this book, even from the first chapter, talks about temptations, testings, trials. Just one verse to encourage us. Verse 12. James 1. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Very encouraging verse. We all want to be blessed. We look for blessings, we pray for blessings. James says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Testing may be difficult, but if you persevere under testing, you will be blessed. And for once you have been approved, on the margin it says, or passed the test, you've been approved, you passed, and you go through it well, he will receive the crown of life. Isn't that what you all look forward to? You will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. We love him, we are faithful, we pass the test, we go through the trials well, we persevere, we be blessed, we will receive the crown of life. That is the path of blessedness. Perseverance in the midst of difficulties. Let us now spend our time to prepare our hearts, partake the Lord's Supper, reflect through our lives, what is our attitude, our approach towards difficulties. Do we lose heart, grow weary, do we murmur, or do we just go through it and try to hold on? Or have we been alert and careful about our response, pondering over what we can learn from the Lord, important truths and principles we can learn, how to develop deep qualities within character, convictions, our spirit, our will, to learn about the realities in spiritual world, to learn about God, to learn about our deficiencies and what we can do about them. There are many aspects that are meaningful for us to ponder over. Not only during times of intense difficulties, but even before we go through them, we equip ourselves to make sure we are ready, so that during such times, we will not be found wanting. That during such times, we will not shrink back. Let us try our best to prepare ourselves for whatever may lie ahead. If there are areas in our lives we know are not right or pleasing before God, let us confess to Him. Let us ask the Spirit of God to search our hearts to minister to us. Let us not harden our hearts. Father, we affirm our love for you and our faith in you as a sovereign, almighty God, perfect in being in all your ways, perfect in your wisdom. And we know that you are still on the throne, and you always will be on the throne, and you sovereignly oversee and take for your children and in control of all situations. We ask that you will help us that our perspective, attitude, self-approach in life may be in line with the truth. Help us that we will not be deceived, not easily discouraged, and we realize that times of difficulties we go through can be intensely difficult and trying. And we can be brought to the point beyond where we feel as if we cannot carry on. And yet we know that during such times we can be helpful in impressing upon us our own frailties and a strong encouragement to us to draw near to you and to know your strength and your name, to deepen our faith in you, especially as we learn to trust you, to walk with you, and then see your hand at work. Oh Father, we know this much you can teach us about yourself. The many things that we learn, we know that they can become so much more real to us. We may be able to gain deeper insight into truths that we learn. And we also know there's a time for us to exercise ourselves that we can grow in spiritual strength and deepen convictions. Father, we ask that you help each one of us. We go through such times again to pass the test, to be approved and not found wanting, that you will not shrink back. We know that we dare not be presumptuous, that we will go through such times again. And we ask that even now you will speak to us and help us to know how we can prepare ourselves to be ready for whatever may lie ahead, and yet all the time trusting that your perfect wisdom will do what you need, that nothing will come our way that will be too difficult for us. There will not be any context where there will be no way out for us, but you always provide a way that is meaningful, a way that we can walk through with proper dignity as children of God. The way that is divine, that not only builds up our own lives, but also positive and implications for the lives of others, for the kingdom of God, for all those who love you and trust you, and for all who are open to the Lord. Father, we ask that you will continue to help us to ponder the truths and how we can incorporate them into our lives. We thank you for your grace. It's always sufficient for us. Help us to be open, alert, prayerful, deceived, not overcome. And now we ask that the Spirit of God will search our hearts, that any areas displeasing to you, we ask that you will speak to us. Help us not to reject the truth. Help us not to harden our hearts. Help us to recognize whatever corrective steps we need to take. Even now we ask that you will cleanse us from all our sins, prepare our hearts, minds, and spirit, that we not partake, not suffer in an unworthy manner. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We do thank you for the Lord's Supper. And we ask that as we partake, you help us to do so with faith, in faith and to be strengthened by the life of the Lord, and be drawn to a deeper fellowship with you and oneness in the Lord of Christ. All this we ask pray thanksgiving in Jesus' precious name. Amen.